Rax Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. In recent weeks, the Bicycle Network, Australia's largest cycling advocacy body, has been calling for changes to the current mandatory bicycle helmet laws. It has recommended a five-year trial to allow riders over the age of 17, travelling on footpaths or bike paths where there isn't any traffic, to ride without helmets. Australia and New Zealand are the only countries in the world to make wearing bike helmets mandatory. The law was first introduced in Victoria in 1990, soon followed by the other Australian states and territories. In New Zealand, the law was introduced in 1994. The Royal Australasian College of Surgeons has been a staunch supporter of the laws, which prevent serious head injury and save lives. Chris Ashmore asks long-standing fellow and world-leading neurosurgeon, Professor Jeffrey Rosenfeld, the college's position on this.
Well, first of all, there are a lot of people that don't want any bikes on footpaths, so that's number one. So that hasn't been agreed to by the general public either. But the college's position is to protect public safety. And if we know of evidence that helmets protect people against head injuries who are riding bikes, then we're going to advocate for maintaining helmets as a compulsory part of safety requirements, just like we do up our seatbelts every time we get in a car. The Bicycle Network have said that they want a five-year trial, as I understand it, to adults riding bikes on public paths rather than roads, so that, yes, there is a lower risk of accidents on these bike tracks, but the problem is that even though the risk is lower, if someone does come off their bike, say they go over a rock or they swerve to avoid an animal or another person, and they come off their bike and they're not wearing a helmet, then the chances are their head injury is going to be worse for them than if they were wearing a helmet. And there's good evidence for that. And just an example of that is, let's say someone goes onto their head coming off a bike, even on a bike track, and they land on a firm ground and they're not wearing a helmet. Let's say they split their scalp, they crack their skull, the skull goes into their brain, they get a depressed fracture of the skull, they end up getting epilepsy, they might get an infection like a brain abscess or worse, meningitis, and they could die from that, but if they survive it, then they might have epilepsy for the rest of their life. They might be brain damaged for the rest of their life. And that's something that could have been totally prevented by a bike helmet. So why would we want to make it optional? Now, to me, it's not a matter of personal choice in this. It's not a matter of human rights. It's not a matter of lifestyle. It's not a matter of encouraging people to ride because they don't have to wear a helmet, because that's not an issue as far as I'm concerned. It's a matter of public safety. It's a matter of protecting people. And if we can do anything to stop head injuries happening, we should do it.
Well, the Bicycle Network claims that the number of people who ride a bike isn't increasing. And one of the reasons for that is because people don't want to wear a helmet. Allowing them to choose, they say, will help increase the participation rate of cyclists, which leads to a healthier population. What are your thoughts?
Look, I think it's nice in theory that they would say that, but I don't believe it. I think it's a furphy. I think people are not riding the bikes because it's too dangerous on the roads to ride them. There are very few bike tracks that take people from their home to their workplace. It's okay if they're riding on the weekend, they'll go on a bike track for a nice, pleasant ride. But if they're actually doing it as a daily commute, they're not going to do it because of the danger on the roads. That's why I wouldn't ride a bike on the public roads at the moment. It's just too dangerous. That's why people are not doing it. It's not because of the helmet. I just think they're using that as sort of an excuse, you know, for why they want to do the trial. But I don't think that's the reason people are, you know, not riding.
Australia and New Zealand are the only two countries in the world with mandatory helmet laws, and the chief executive of the Bicycle Network, Craig Richards, says that Australia is out of step with the rest of the world. Is he right?
No, I think the rest of the world's out of step with Australia and New Zealand. We're leading the world in safety measures. We were the first country in the world. And in fact, it was this college, the RACS, that advocated strongly to introduce seatbelts with people like Gordon Trinker at the time. It was a chair of the trauma committee, and the college was an incredibly strong advocate for seatbelts as a public safety measure, and eventually it was brought in. And look what happened to the road toll. They've made an enormous difference. And so the college speaks with a strong voice on public safety, and we're going to speak with a strong voice on bicycle helmets because it is a measure that should not be watered down. The other countries find it difficult to bring in that sort of legislation. We're not a nanny state. It's not a matter of being a nanny state where we have laws for everything. What we have is laws that are protecting public health. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything to be ashamed of or to change because other countries are not doing it. There have been comparisons of injuries in places like Holland and Australia, and they've been published, and where Holland has free rein over voluntary helmets, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but the head injury rates were very different and were lower in our system. And look, we have very good figures on the effect of helmet wearing in our own population, in terms of what it was like before and after, and we've got figures on that. And so the helmets do make a definite difference in reducing injury. There's no doubt about that.
Well, these calls to relax bicycle helmet laws, they do come up from time to time. Why do you think it's always a struggle to convince sections of the community with the importance of wearing a helmet, even away from traffic?
Because I think they see it predominantly as an issue of convenience and an issue of Big Brother not telling them what to do. They think that it's an extra encumbrance, that the government shouldn't be infringing their rights to operate freely, as it were, as a free agent. And well, they've come to accept seatbelts. There are clearly penalties for not putting them on. There are penalties for not wearing the bike helmet as well. But I suppose people think bike riding is a lot more of a leisure activity or an activity that should be away from cars and therefore lower risk. And I suppose the idea is to eventually have independent bike tracks, and that's fine. But I think that they are not thinking on the safety side, and they certainly are not thinking on the injury side. They'll think, well, it's never going to happen to me, or if it does happen to me, it's going to be a minor event and I'll get over it. Well, I give the example of a surgeon that I treated a few years ago who came off his bike on the road system and had a very severe head injury. He was wearing a helmet. So helmets don't stop all severe head injuries, but I would say that he probably would have died if he had not have been wearing his helmet, because he did have a severe head injury. He did spend time in ICU, but eventually he actually made a very good recovery. I don't think his recovery would have been as good if he hadn't have been wearing a helmet. We saw the helmet after the accident. It was totally smashed up, and you can imagine what his head would have been like if the helmet wasn't there. So, look, it's never going to be you, but occasionally it is you, and you've got to do everything you can to protect yourself. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Well, final question, Geoffrey. Aside from wearing helmets, and you touched upon this earlier in the interview, what else would help with the safety of cyclists?
Well, I think there needs to be much more thought about how cyclists travel alongside cars, because that clearly causes a lot of accidents, and we need safer bike tracks so people can commute. And I think the government are working on that, but it's a slow staged process to gradually increase the number of bike tracks that are away from where cars are travelling. The opening of the car doors has been a major problem, the dooring, and that has killed a number of cyclists over the years. I don't know the exact numbers, but the dooring Yes, there's been public education campaigns to try and get people to look in their rearview mirror before they open the car door, and I certainly always do. But you can understand how the poor cyclists feel about it when the door suddenly opens and they don't have time to stop. So the dooring needs more work. But if we take the bikes away from the cars, then the dooring is not going to be an issue either. So I think that's the eventual answer, is to separate the bikes from the cars.
Professor Jeffrey Rosenfeld. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Bongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.